It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and I'm actually playing Bus Stop, not the air that I suck. Sorry, Nikki, I didn't, I wasn't able to load that one up.
The air that I suck. What? That's a foul thought, Phil.
Why don't you give a guy a break?
You know something, once again, I'm not talking.
Hold on. Yeah, I just was fooling around, Margaret. I didn't mean to butcher up your favorite song. It's also Nikki's, The Air That I Breathe, which I was trying to get on the air and I couldn't, but I'm on the air. And I'm breathing this air. It ain't bad. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And tune in. We would like for you to sample all three if you wouldn't mind. Okay. We started a new podcast today called Observations. In the Observation podcast, I go off on the Danish zoo where they butchered up a giraffe. And you heard us talking about... And yes, I said butchered up because they cut this thing up in front of a bunch of kids.
Well, that's the part that... See, I can handle anything, but that part right there, Katie barred the door.
Well, that was the part that got me pissed off.
What are you talking about, kid?
They took this giraffe, a 2-year-old giraffe named Marius, and Ricky Gervais, who it would appear Ricky Gervais, the very funny man and producer and actor from Great Britain, who's here in the United States now, because everybody's been stealing his ideas over here, so he thought he'd just come on over and keep closer tabs on his career.
That's not called for, Phil. Ricky Gervais has been paid handsomely for his ideas.
Oh, well, I got that. There's no question. But fact of the matter is, folks, nobody's had any ideas except for Ricky. And so he said, well, I'll come over and I'll be closer when you guys want to buy them from me. So anyway, I saw his tweets. He's had some pretty funny ones with regard to animals. You think he's a...
Yeah, I think he's an animal, right? Guy and everything.
I'm not familiar with it. What is this man? Ricky who?
Ricky Gervais. He's a comic actor and producer. But anyway, he said he had the most poignant photograph of this beautiful... giraffes are kind of dreamy-looking, beautiful animals up close, aren't they?
Well, they have those long eyebrows... Not eyebrows.
They got eyelashes and everything.
Yes, eyelashes. They have the long, dreamy-looking eyelashes.
No, that's the cartoon one.
No, it's... What do you mean it's the cartoon one?
I think Robert's right. I think cartoon giraffes have eyelashes.
Cartoon giraffes have eyelashes?
Well, that's my understanding, yes.
Well, I don't... No. I think real giraffes have real long eyelashes, don't they?
Long are the female ones.
Not the female... Are you kidding me or something?
Well, what are you guys talking about? Because...
I'm telling you that giraffes have the long... dreamy-looking eyelashes, unless I'm mistaken.
Well, the thing to do would be to get a photograph. Do you have one of this giraffe before it was cut down with the single bullet to the head? And
will you knock it off, General, please?
I'm terribly sorry.
That's very traumatic for me and a lot of people.
Well, you getting all emotional about a giraffe? Yeah, looks like he's getting emotional about a giraffe.
Giraffe, you moron. What, did you do that on purpose?
No, he doesn't do that on purpose. That idiot doesn't know how to pronounce giraffe.
Well, no, it said that you get to do French.
I get to do what?
You talk about the French.
I talk, what is he saying?
Margaret, you pronounce things in the French version, right?
Well, it's not giraffe, you clod. You dirt clod with legs.
All right, look.
Well, that's, boy, I'll tell you, that's hitting below the belt right there.
All right, now, I don't know whether giraffes have eyelashes, whether they look dreamy, I don't know any of that, but there was a close-up picture of this one, and it was very, it was a beautiful animal, and the guy is, this poor little giraffe is gone. A lot of people were pissed off. Now, I did see... the inevitable, and I think that this is to be expected. Every time there is a large reaction about something, here comes the response, and the response was, oh, well, you people don't know. The response came from the supporters of the Copenhagen Zoo. So now there's like 1,900 Facebook groups. There's the Copenhagen Zoo. There's Support the Copenhagen Zoo. There's Boycott the Copenhagen Zoo. There's Never Visit the Copenhagen Zoo Again As Long As You Live.
What is Copenhagen? That's the name of the town, ma'am.
That's the city in Denmark.
Oh, okay, you're going Copenhagen.
No, it's Copenhagen, or if you will, the Copenhagen. And no, that's not the French. That's the original Germanica, the Saxon pronunciation.
What did it say it again?
Copenhagen.
Copenhagen.
Phil, don't twist your nose up like you just smelled a...
Yeah, you like you smelled a fart or something.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I'm sorry.
Well, that's what you do. I said Copenhagen, and then you go, ooh, like there's something that is sulfuric and...
All right, I apologize. I've never heard it pronounced that way, but I defer to your erudition on that.
Don't use too many big words because Mumbles over there starts to get a headache.
What are you talking about, me being Mumble? You're the one saying Copenhagen.
Oh, baby.
Hey, watch it. Boy, when you're pulling that fist back, Margaret, I think you're really going to throw it.
That I've never struck that slod.
All right, take it easy, and let's just...
There you go, take it easy again.
Let's just talk about this for a minute. Now, the Copenhagen Zoo had its supporters, or it was the beneficiary, I should say, of its supporters over the last 24 to 48 hours coming out in favor of the zoo and saying, well, now, everybody's an expert on giraffes. And imagine people telling the Copenhagen Zoo how to deal with giraffes. You see, this is the automatic response, even from people as undereducated about these matters as those of us who didn't want to see the giraffe die. So there's a whole bunch of people who are not zoologists, not animal behaviorists, do not work in biology. We just didn't want to see the giraffe die. And then there's a whole bunch of people who are big fans of the zoo, probably go there every day, eat the popcorn, eat the peanuts, sit on their dead ass and look at the gorillas swinging back and forth. And they support the Copenhagen Zoo and are about as dumb as we are. But here you have on both sides of the issue the overwhelming mass of people who are not the most educated. And then closer to the issue are the educated ones, the ones who support the zoo, the ones that don't.
Well, what do the educated ones that support the zoo say?
This is the point that I'm trying to make. The educated ones that support the zoo make the typical argument that zoos make. And it is the following argument. Since the animal is in captivity anyway, it has these limitations. It at the age at a certain age of maturity, it can't be around other males. It'll fight, and it can't. You know, this is the time when in the wild, it's very difficult for it to survive. And this is a time here at the zoo that it will be very difficult for it to survive because it has all these different needs, and it may be exposed to diseases. So, in other words, what they're saying is, if we'd left it in the wild, then it probably would have survived adapting as it would to its natural surroundings. However, when you say that to them, they say, oh, but you don't understand, Mr. Hendry. Why, it isn't in the wild. It was born in captivity. Perhaps it was. Perhaps it was. I don't know. You see an animal like this that's born in captivity, why, then it grows to a certain age, and we got to put a bullet in its head. Oh, I see. All right. So in other words, let me just get this straight, because you're so wise and educated, and you got all these clowns fooled because you're the Copenhagen Zoo, so you know what the hell you're doing, right? So what you do is you get a giraffe, you have the giraffe give birth to another giraffe. That giraffe, born in captivity, now suits your purposes. Now you got a perfectly fine giraffe. You raise it up. All the little kids come. They take a look at it. The people come. They eat the popcorn. They see a giraffe. Look at that giraffe. Isn't that a fantastic giraffe? And now that the giraffe has reached a certain age, it served its purpose. That is to attract people to your scumbag zoo so that everyone will sit and look at the giraffe. The giraffe is now not needed any longer. It's surplus. It's, we'll get another giraffe. We'll have another giraffe born in captivity. You put a bullet in its head or whatever the hell you do, and then you turn it into a teaching moment. You autopsy the thing in front of children. You carve it up into steaks, and you feed it to lions. And this completes the sadistic and cynical cycle that the Copenhagen Zoo would have me believe is a marvelous, beneficial, and just wonderful example of how we work with wildlife and coexist with wildlife.
Everything you did there is great, but then you went coexist.
Yeah, you did, Miss Henry.
Are you guys kidding? Because I'm going to hurt somebody.
Hey, Margaret. Okay. Take it easy. What are you guys doing, huh?
What do you mean? You just said take it easy.
What do you mean I lisp? So I lisp. Did you hear what I was saying?
Yeah, Miss Henry, but we're trying to produce.
You knuckleheads don't need to produce. You need to listen to what he's saying and understand the overall effect of it. I'd like to reach across, and I'd like to cuff both of you across.
I just...
Better go get some water.
I don't need any water.
Yes, you do, because your voice just cracked. Forget about whether I lisped.
Well, you did. You said that, man. Call it this.
Okay, so I said coexist, and that's the way I'm going to say coexist from now on. I'm going to lisp it, and I'm going to piss you guys off doing it. How does that feel?
Dad, look, you know, bent out of shape, everything.
Why do I think there's a call from David G. Hall in my future? I don't know. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and online, of course, at TuneIn. We're going to be right back here with more on this and other issues, including some NAACP controversy. I don't even know if I want to get into that, man. I'm getting so sick of that. Every time I see Fox having anything to do with a headline, and it ain't that I, you know, got anything really against conservatives. Anytime I see CNN having anything to do with a headline, but these days it's... Anyway, these days I see more of Fox than I do see of CNN. Maybe it's because I watch them all the time. Maybe that's it. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, then why don't you stop watching them?
Yep. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Yeah.
Oh, that's a real rock and roller, isn't it?
It's a nice song. It's... The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we're talking here about, we're talking here about the giraffe with the eyelashes. I don't know what the hell we're talking about, man. You know, you guys really screwed me up with that one.
We gotta figure out they got eyelashes.
Who cares if a giraffe... I'm getting very personally perturbed on behalf of Mr. Henry, who's been trying to tell us about a giraffe in the zoo that someone walked in, put a bullet in, got back into a, I don't know what it did. They got back into a car. What was it?
No, they didn't get back into a car. The giraffe was killed by the zoo.
All right, that's what. And you guys are talking about some dreamy looking giraffe.
Not dreamy looking. We were wondering if giraffes have eyelashes.
All right, I don't care, and I'm not going to look into it right this instant. We're just talking about the giraffe and the fact that the poor animal was shot. Now, last night, of course, we had Dean Wheeler on the show, who was preoccupied with discussions of squirrels that live in trees behind his house. The discussion veered, and when I say veered, I mean that in the exact sense of an automobile going off of a road and careening, let's say, into a gas station, and the whole thing blows up. Because I have to tell you, Mr. Wheeler's conversation with us got that scary. We're talking to him about giraffes, and he began talking to us about a squirrel or two or three, I think.
He said there were three.
Three distinct squirrels that lived in a tree out behind his house, and that's what he was doing battle with. As much of an animal lover as he and his wife Emeralda are, or were, he and Emeralda are, as much as animal lovers they are, he was looking forward to the day that he could chop down the old-growth oak tree in his backyard and watch these squirrels plummet to their death on the rocky surface below. His words, not mine. Dr. Jim Sadler is going to join us here, and we're going to talk a little bit with Dr. Sadler about the love of animals and, shall we say, Dr. Sadler, the almost extreme or inordinate love that some people have for animals. In this case, my outrage and the outrage of so many millions of people around the globe over the death of this giraffe cannot possibly be misplaced, can it?
No, I don't think it's misplaced, Phil. I think when we talk about people that have a love of animals, we're talking really about an inordinate love of animals, I should say. We're talking really about people that substitute animals in their lives for normal human relations. This is a very common thing among people who have had unsuccessful relations with people, or have been unsuccessful, for instance, in the case of a lot of women, at having their own children. There are many couples that substitute animals for the lack of children in their lives. There are some people that substitute animals for friends, and they're more comfortable relating to animals than people.
So you're saying literally that some people are relating to animals in place of human beings.
What about if they have sex with one?
Excuse me, please.
So, well, so... that threw me a little bit because you weren't just talking to my wife, were you, young man? Because we just had the conversation.
What do you mean by wife?
Bud, would you shut up?
Well, no, I'll tell him. My wife was asking me about a program that I'd been on. It was an early one of these early morning public affairs shows where someone made a joke. They had a carton of eggs. And these were the eggs from a chicken coop that this guy had on the farm. It was one of these 4-H shows where we talk about, how the dairy farms are doing and everything like that.
You were a guest on the show?
Yeah, I was a guest on this program as an educator representing one of the universities, the University of California, Northridge, and talking as a student advisor in our psychology department.
What were you doing on a farm show?
Well, it was actually a public affairs show, and I was only there to consult on this guy who kept referring to the chicken and to the eggs as his family, his family, his family. And I wanted to get a little bit more into that, and my wife called me during the commercial break on my cell phone, and she said, maybe those are his firstborn, and that's his wife, ha, ha, ha. Which I thought was funny, but it turned out she wanted me to ask. I'm embarrassed to talk about this, fella.
Well, you know, this is a little bit off of the point. You really want to get into this?
No, I don't care, but he said, what about sex? And so this comes hot on the heels of being on this show with this guy with his chicken and these eggs.
Well, all right, so there was a guy with chicken and eggs, and what happened?
And what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know that joke?
Yeah, I know that joke, General.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, if I overspoke...
No, you just never mind. We don't need that right now. So go ahead, Doctor.
Well, I'm just saying that the chicken and the eggs and this guy saying, those are my firstborn and this is my wife, ha, 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 got me to thinking about whether this guy's not telling the truth, but, you know... So when he said something about sex, it really started. My mind started to go places.
All right. Well, why don't we just pull your mind back out of that?
I'd appreciate that.
And let's talk about the giraffe. And Bud, you can keep your mouth shut. Why'd you even bring that up?
He was talking about psychology and way people talk.
Let Phil ask the questions, because when you ask a question, Bud, my stomach begins to turn a little bit. All right. My stomach starts to turn.
Just. Allow us, Bud. Doctor?
All right. So you're talking about the giraffe.
Actually, I was talking about Dean Wheeler and the squirrels, you know, because he is a guy who is a big animal fan. He's an environmentalist. He does believe in the... He did not believe that the giraffe should have been killed, and as I didn't, as a lot of people didn't, but there he was ready to saw down this oak tree.
All right, well, the reason why he wanted to saw the oak tree down was he needed relief from this harassment that he was getting. The harassment he's getting from a squirrel is obviously something that is going to be nerve-wracking. I don't think it's worth the death of an old-growth oak tree that's 300 years old. I think there are more mature ways of dealing with a squirrel that's going to behave that way. I assume that he got tried to get some exterminators.
Oh, yeah, he brought out exterminators. He brought out pest control. None of this seemed to work. As a matter of fact, in one instance, he had one of these guys got up into the tree, I think, to try to go after one of the squirrels and fell off of one of the branches and injured himself quite severely and blamed the squirrels themselves, which I don't know.
Well, I'm sure he was talking more about how the having to go up the tree.
This guy's talking about the squirrel pushed him, which I cannot imagine.
No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Well, then, but I don't know why the guy would even come up with something like that. But the point that I'm trying to make here is there is a psychosis or a psychotic break that seems to have taken place here.
Right, and that will happen. That will happen. Because in my book, No Spy Agreement, which is a book about the hostile as well as beneficial relationships that humans have with animals, the hostile relationships that I look into are these enemy where an animal and a human become enemies, and where the human is often the loser. And I'm not talking about a situation in the wild where a guy might get eaten up by a bear or something like that. I'm talking about even a domestic situation where a semi-wild animal like a squirrel can drive a guy who lives in a house nuts. You know, he drives the guy... You know, not to, it's a joke, you know, it makes him nuts to drive him around the bend. you know, I heard something.
What did you hear?
I heard a young lady say, 1 minute.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Are you hearing that?
He might have heard Nikki on the feed there.
Yeah, that's, I heard someone say, 1 minute. Is that for me?
No, that's for us. All right.
Dr. Stadler, my question is, you're saying that a man who lives in a civilized domicile like a home is still driven to a psychotic break by a wild animal like a squirrel living in a tree?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
All right.
All right. With that, let's take a quick break here on the Phil Henry Show and be back with Dr. Jim Sadler as we continue to discuss here a very, 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 very sad situation involving the giraffe at the Copenhagen Zoo, people's affinity for wild animals, and how we can all band together and just make this world a much, you know, cooler and neater place to, you know, live in. That's all I'm saying, you know.
Well, that sounded a little bit sissy.
Back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night live from the El Pacifico here on the West Coast and online at philhenryshow.com. You can hear every single solitary show in its entirety going back over 15 years, and this is some of the most revolutionary, groundbreaking, radical stuff that the world has ever known, that the world has ever seen, that has far surpassed anything else on radio. As a matter of fact, one Phil Henry Show is equal to about 30 of any other guy's radio shows. If you don't believe me, just ask them. Oh!
Well, that is true.
Yes, it is. Now, I'm reaching down and...
Yeah, your hand down.
Don't say it. I'm reaching down to get a news story here because I couldn't believe my eye. I know we have Dr. Jim Sadler. We're going to wrap up with Dr. Sadler on the whole giraffe thing and the fact that guys are flipping their lids on squirrel. I don't know, but once we wrap with him, I do want to get to a story that has everyone just agog and aghast, but for me, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I want to find out what your problem is with Bob Costas, because, you know, I think he is a fine man.
I don't have a problem with Bob Costas, okay?
Well, you've been waiting for him to get bumped off the air for a long time, even if it took pink eye.
Well, I don't know where his hands have been.
Yeah, no kidding. I bet you...
Take it easy, bud, huh? No wonder I'm saying take it easy a lot these days. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
I'm fine. Look, I wanted to marry Bob Costas, you know. He got pink eye because one of the ways that I'm assuming you get pink... I am a doctor, but it's been a long time since I've practiced any kind of pediatrics. It's a long time since I've done that, and I can tell you...
Dr. Sadler, can I interrupt you for a moment?
No, you mean, if you don't mind, Margaret, because I've been on the program before and you butt in.
No, I do not butt in, but you know as well as I do your grammar is atrocious, like what you just did there.
And that's why I didn't want you to butt in. The point, I'm not the most educated person, but I do have my medical degree, and I'm sorry that you're PO'd about that. Okay.
I'm not PO'd about it, as you say. I wonder how you can pass yourself off as an educated man. Never mind.
Yeah, Margaret, let it go, okay? Every time he's on the show...
Exactly, Phil. Every time I'm on the show, she wants to break my castanets about how I don't talk good. Okay, fine. I'm self-educated, but I do have my medical degree, and that is gonna... I know that flips you out.
That doesn't flip me out. I could care less, but as long as you're on the program.
Now I forgot what you. Oh, I know. I wanted to say, Phil, that Bob Costas got pink eye because he didn't wash his hands after going to the toilet, and that's all I want to say about that. So.
All right, fine. Why would you bring that up? I mean, doesn't pink eye something that is...
I brought it up because everyone thinks Bob Costas is so great. But the guy can't even wash his hands after a trip to the toilet.
I thought pink eye was something that was transferred from other people. Children get it quite a bit because of the constant touching and the general physical proximity that children have to each other, and how they're not the most hygiene when they are playing, etc. It's easy for a kid's fingers to go someplace and then get onto another kid. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but I think, are you saying that a kid See, what I want to say here...
Dr. Sandler, I understand you don't want to say a kid go to the toilet.
Well, yeah, what I wanted to say, I don't know what he said.
But, yeah, Bud, please don't interrupt anymore.
Well, you was talking about how a kid doesn't wipe.
No, but I was saying that Bob Costas doesn't wipe. And
how can you say something like that? That is so childish.
Excuse me, does he have pink eye?
Hold on, Sandler, you just went... you sounded like something out of a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Did you hear that, Phil? He goes,
Yeah, okay. Woo.
Thank you very much, General.
Boy, everybody's looking at me like I just walked out of some kind of a toxic waste accident. Forget it.
Wow, I hadn't thought about it, but did you ever see RoboCop 2?
All right, so we have a situation where Bob Costas has pink eye. What about it? You were here to talk about the giraffe.
Well, forget it then, would it?
See, I told you were going to pee. You talk about PO'd.
Why did he hang up? Why did he hang up?
Well, I think you were a little rough on him. I don't know.
I wasn't rough on him. He's talking about Bob Costas with the pink eye. That guy, that Sadler, I'm getting tired of him, you know. He sounds like Elmer Fudd. He's a doctor. No, he isn't. Yes, he is. I don't know whether he's a veterinarian. I don't know whether he's an internist. I don't know whether he's a, you know.
Well, I don't, you know, talk about it. What's that? What country's that? You talk about internist. That's not internist, man. It's not a country. But that's the kind of doctor.
Yeah, that's the kind of doctor.
Yeah, as I say, what difference does it make where he's from?
He's from America, right?
I assume he's from America with the accent. I can't be sure.
That's an American accent. It's the Elmer Fudd American. I don't know what that is.
That accent is an East Coast accent that has an Elmer Fudd affect to it, I guess.
Well, what part of the country is that? It's an Eastern. Isn't it New York?
Well, I wouldn't want to associate it with New York.
Why not?
Because it's Elmer Fudd.
Well, what do you mean you wouldn't want to associate it with New York? Who cares where he's from?
Got him on the phone. He just called what? No, you hung up. Yeah.
Give me the phone, will you? Dr. Sadler, sir, you hung up on me.
No, I come from Vista, California.
All right, now, Doc, what I see, he hung up.
Right, he said he's going to hang up.
He's from Vista, California.
Yes, that's right down in San Diego County.
Okay, I mean...
What's weird about that?
He has a very distinctly Eastern... it sounds... And I'm not talking about the Elmer Fudd aspect. The Elmer Fudd thing is the result of him trying to French kiss a cheetah in a lion... a cheetah taming accident. I don't know what it was.
It's a lion taming accident that a cheetah did.
Well, then it wasn't a lion-taming accident. Are you guys for real?
He said that it was a lion-taming accident, and he was trying to French kiss a cheetah as part of the performance. Now, there might have been a lion, there might not have been a lion. Or maybe he was lying.
Yeah, and you tell me to go get a vanilla wafer and cottage cheese.
All right, thank you very much. No, I didn't say that. You're the guy that's always going off to get it.
Well, I can see it in your eyes.
Speaking of eyes, has anyone found out about the giraffe?
We'll find out about the giraffe when I'm good and ready, okay?
What a D-word.
That's right, that's me, Phil Henry, the D-word. Another blow, if you'll pardon the expression, Margaret, from Winter that packed a punch.
May I see that?
No.
May I see that? Another blow from one of the best. That's filthy.
Well, you know what? The weatherman can't please us all. You know, you're going to have to just relax on some of these headlines.
Yeah, what do you expect them to say?
I don't like the phrase, another blow.
Well, Margaret, we're getting more liberal these days.
No, you can't do nothing about it.
Oh, I can't do anything about it, huh? Phil doesn't have to read that.
I think you got a problem if you don't like that.
No, I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with the way it's used on this program.
Yeah, I ain't say nothing yet.
If you say anything, Bud, if you say anything about that headline, another blow from Winter that has packed a punch, if you even smile when I say that, I'm going to take you and I'm going to throw you out into traffic just before I see a nice big truck come down the street. Do you understand? No, do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Another blow.
Yeah, I'm looking at him too, Mr. Henry.
Uh-huh. from winter that has packed a punch. So they're waiting for another storm back east, and I'm not sure what that will entail as yet another fierce storm wallops much of the nation, creating havoc from Texas through Maine with ice, freezing rain, snow. Americans are growing weary of a winter that keeps spreading misery, even to places unaccustomed to frigid conditions. Well, suck it up. Oh, sorry, I said suck.
He just laughed.
I know, but I drew attention to it. The latest storm, termed mind-boggling, if not historical, by the National Weather Service, was bringing dangerous ice and freezing rain to heavily populated corridor of the south from Atlanta to Raleigh, North Carolina, before moving north with as much as a foot of snow from Virginia to New England. Though it's not quite the middle of February, the winter's toll has already delivered more than a season's worth of hard punches. More than 3 dozen people from Missouri to Connecticut have died as a result of this wild weather, and tens of thousands of canceled flights stranded travelers sometimes for days. Now, just a point, you know, every kind of weather is going to be, you know, sooner or later, there's record-breaking weather. There's always a record to break with weather, and so that doesn't really blow me away. But here's the thing that bugs me about this weather. You know, we can't have anything happen in this country anymore without some fist fight breaking out. Oh, God, look at the weather. Yeah, well, now here come the climate change versus the no climate change guys, you know. Look at the weather. We can't do a thing around here without, and I'm not saying it's necessarily bad. I mean, there are some fights that we should have. There are some battles that we should join. But weather? Weather? Now, I happen to be a guy that, you know, believes that there is a thing called climate change. I happen to be a guy that believes in that science. I'm not going to get crazy, but I don't deny what I see right there smack dab in front of my face. Nor do I deny it. That's just me, okay? Call me crazy, call me nuts, hate me if you want. But what is the problem here? If it's happening, then you got to open your eyes to it and say it's happening. Now, one of the things that we don't want to do here is spend too much money. We figure it's going to cost us a lot of bread if we have to retrofit this or get new light bulbs here or do this or, you know, don't drink our tea. I saw a whole bunch of people panicking about stuff. But all I ever heard them talking about was don't boil your tea for too long. Get these other kind of light bulbs. Make sure you don't leave so much of a carbon footprint. Just a lot of lightweight crap, you know.
Well, I think it was to open people's eyes to the urgency.
Well, see, that was the part of it that bothered me a little bit because, you know, while I do believe there is climate change, I also kind of get a little upset when I see America and other countries jumping in and say, okay, let's do something about it. And the Chinese and the Indians are saying, you don't mind if we just go ahead and fart some more carbon into the air. Now, do you?
That's exactly what's going on, Mr. Harry. Good point.
What are the Chinese doing?
I'm just telling you that there's some countries that are developing countries, which I understand. And they want a piece of the big pie, man. They're finally getting their countries on their feet. They're finally getting a little bit of a middle class going. They're finally getting a little bit of a this and a little bit of a that, you know? That it isn't just America that has all of the good times. So the Chinese and the Indians are among those nations. And while the world looks at them, the developed nations, and say, well, we have this new problem. It's called global climate change, and it's going to necessitate some action on your part, as well as other countries that are industrialized, to mitigate this. And the Chinese and the Indians basically look back at us and say, no, you that's your problem. You guys were, it was your party for decade after decade. Now we're going to have ours, and you guys go ahead and wring your hands over that crap because we couldn't be bothered. I mean, on the one hand, I sort of get where they're coming from. You know, they want to keep the progress going. On the other hand, God, man, you know.
Well, I think they think that we are conning them into slowing down their progress, and we're conning them with some bullcrap climate change argument. Now, I agree with you, Phil, that it does exist, but I'm also very wary of going and telling the Chinese, the long-suffering and revolutionary people of China, that this does exist. Yes, it does exist, but to them, it doesn't exist. It's counter-revolutionary. And you need to understand, Phil, have you read any of the dialectic... have you read Das Kapital? Do you know...
Hold on, Margaret, before you know...
Margaret, watch it. If you're going to start spouting some of that bull, you got to start spouting some of that bull dropping. You're going to have me to deal with.
General, please.
No, I... You're going to start spouting some of the bull droppings. I will have none of it.
Hold on. Hold on, General. Now, Margaret, Oh, we have to break. Then we'll be back to our discussion. Now, here's where communism comes in, folks. And even though it isn't communism.
Well, no, it isn't. But yes, it is.
That was clear. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And tune in for all of you all that want to tune in. You know, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and tune in. And I was just talking to my good close personal friend, Nikki, here about the passing of Shirley Temple, which we will get to in just a moment. But first this, I'd like to talk to you about our website, philhenryshow.com, as well as TuneIn, as well as our daily podcasts. All of this can be accessed through our website, philhenryshow.com. This is the digital, this is the internet home of our show. And I talk to a lot of people every day, and they say, Phil, where can I find you on the net? Phil, where can I find you on the radio? Phil. Well, all you have to do is go to our site. You'll see a list of affiliates. But also, you will have an opportunity to listen to our show live right there. You can listen to our show live via our own channel, the Phil Henry Channel on TuneIn. And you can listen to our daily podcasts. And we're going to begin on Monday doing a digest of our daily show, Monday through Friday. That will be a free podcast. And then it will become a premium podcast after that. And then we will have a new digital offering of our radio show coming very, very soon. So I suggest that you get a backstage pass and listen to the Phil Henry Show. It is $9.99 for a full access pass, or only $4.99 for audio only. Well worth it, and really, it is, for all intents and purposes, the future. Thank you. Oh, I like this is very exotic. Yes, it is. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Yeah, Margaret Shirley Temple, huh?
Yes, Shirley Temple passed on 85 years of age, and I think we can all take a lesson from her. I thought she was lovely, and she was so gracious in her life as a diplomat for the United States of America. She was a representative of our country. I thought she was a lovely woman all the way through life, and I think that she escaped a lot of the hardships that many of our young actors and actresses do encounter trying to transition from childhood into adulthood.
You know, I'd like to read anything I can get my hands on. Now I think I'm going to read up on Shirley Temple in terms of her ability to transition, because, I mean, what you just said, I have no reason to doubt, but I wonder if it was easy, whether it was tough.
Wait, what are you talking about transition?
When she was a child star, she was huge. Somebody even mentioned to me today that Shirley Temple's movies saved MGM. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But her movies made a lot of bread. People went to see them. They were family fare. Kids loved them. Parents loved them for the obvious reason that kids loved them. She was everywhere, man. If you want to talk about who the it girl of the 30s was, it was Shirley Temple. It wasn't, you know, whoever, Thelma Todd. I don't know who the hell they call the it girl, or, you know, what's the... Who was it?
Well, there was Claudette Colbert. There was...
Okay.
There was Jean Harlow. Let's not forget Jean Harlow.
Yeah, all right.
Will you shut up, bud?
He's trying to hurry me along, but I can't be hurried along because I know all of them.
Go ahead.
There was Jean Harlow. There was Claudette Colbert.
Go. Go.
There was...
Go.
Shut up!
There was, I forget...
There were a lot of them, but Shirley Temple was the one, man. And Shirley Temple with the little curly hair and the dancing and all that stuff.
I didn't appreciate the Bojangles. I didn't appreciate it. And I don't think that Shirley appreciated it even as a child, you know?
Which Bojangle?
That is a black guy that tap dance. And he's doing all that tap dance with Shirley Temple. Yeah, I resent that a lot.
Well, what do you mean you don't like Bojangles?
I just didn't like the whole image of the, oh, here he is, the servant.
Well, I don't know what character he was playing in that film.
I think he was playing a butler or a stable, some guy that mopped out the stables and also, oh, yeah, danced.
Sure.
What are you laughing at, Mr. Henry?
Take it easy, will you, Robert, huh? You know, it's no comment on anything other than the image of the guy that slops out the stables and, oh, yeah, he dances. Look, there's no question at all that black actors in the old days of movie making had to find jobs. Basically, there was a a black studio system, if you want to call it that. There were black studios. There were African-American-owned studios and African-American-produced films because the white mainstream studios were simply not open to serious material or good material, quality material for black actors. And so there they were doing all those jackass roles. Butterfly McQueen, you know, Hattie McDaniel. Hattie McDaniel, I just saw a thing on TV of her accepting the Academy Award for Gone with the Wind. Very gracious woman, very well-spoken.
Yeah, she didn't talk like a maid or nothing?
No, she didn't.
That was the character, you jackball.
Well,
no, bud. What, did you think she was a real-life maid and they just went ahead and threw her in the part? That's called an actor, okay? That's what they do. They act. So then comes Shirley Temple and Mr. Bojangles. I don't know, you know.
Well, let me tell you people something, right? Bill Bojangles, which I believe that was his name.
Bill Bojangles.
That's what I believe his name was, yes. You can say whatever you want about whether or not he should have been in this, but he was one holy hell of a dancer, and he would have made Michael Jackson break down and weep. That's how good he was. Michael Jackson would have taken one look at Bojangles and hung his slippers up.
Yeah. All right.
No, what do you mean, yeah?
Phil, that's the big statement that you're making there, General.
Well, I make it and I stand by it.
So one look at Bojangles, Michael Jackson would have hung up his slippers.
You got it, brother. Roger that.
Well, I don't know about that.
You don't even know what we're talking about. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com with more of this discussion on Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple.
She was a great, great woman. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and tune in. Stick around. We'll be back with more to discuss here. Some NAACP confrontation on Fox News and some weather heading your way. Girl, we can't.